This episode of the Disc Golf Podcast is brought to you by otbdiscs.com.
At one point in time, if you listened to the show, you knew about our little secret site to get awesome discs. It's not a secret anymore. It is a site where you can learn everything about the discs you're purchasing before you actually have them in your hands.
Get disc weight, dominess, flatness, all kinds of ratings. Learn it before you get it in there and get your favorite disc at only the best discs, otbdiscs.com. Use promo code DGPODCAST to get free shipping on your next order. What's up, disc golfers? Welcome to episode 234 of the Disc Golf Podcast. My name is Robin. Alongside me, my longtime friend, avid disc golfer, Joe.
Have you ever got pee on your disc?
You know, I can't say that I have ever gotten pee on my disc, though I've considered it in times when I may have put my disc in poison oak and I was out of water or possibly didn't bring any water and didn't want to waste beer for
yeah, but for you, I feel like you might have oak on your hand or something.
The last thing you want to do in that situation is touch your genitals, of course.
I know, but it's almost like you see people on the beach and they're like, I got jellyfish, pee on it. Like, I'm surprised you haven't been like, hey, Joe, can you just...
Yeah, yeah.
Can you just pee on this?
For those of you thinking that this is an absolute zero context tangent at the beginning of Disc Golf Podcast, which we have done many, you need to watch the Jomez practice round for the OTB Open, where Nate Sexton literally has a disc peed on by a coyote. They say fox in the thing. Well, Sexton first says coyote, and he was correct, I believe. From what
then
I can see,
to fox.
And then they all said fox, but that looked like a coyote to me.
If he gets an ace at this tournament with that disc,
with the coyote pee disc,
do you think he will strategically try and put discs out for animals to pee on going forward?
Maybe
not him. Do you think others will? And by others, do you think by that I mean myself?
Can you imagine just a little pee stain stamp, like Nate Sexton's signature Excalibur with a pee stain?
Do you think if I put a little bit of cat litter in my disc and left around my house, one of my cats would pee on my disc?
You know what? They actually legit needed to bring what if you just have a Ziploc bag of kitty litter just for...
Well, you could just use your whale sack or whatever. Just shake it over top.
Yeah.
Just like... Why not? Get all that powder on it.
Since the pandemic, the animals have been getting more bold. So maybe you need to bring some litter so they don't claim your disc. Just get it.
But I mean, maybe that's good luck.
Is it?
Maybe he's got a spirit animal now.
I guess. Does he throw coyotes?
He does now.
If
he doesn't, he needs to now. Like the Nate Sexton coyote. Like, but they could also do the same shit with like the Paul Macbeth AVR destroyers. His ex cows with a coyote stamp on them.
I know it's Dismania, but I mean, Innova makes them. But a peline coyote. That'd be pretty sweet.
Ooh, peeline, I like that. I like that. He's allowed to throw, but it doesn't really work that way. That's so weird. It's so crazy. That course is crazy.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, we'll get into it later, but that course.
I mean, we can do it now if you want.
Well, don't you want to tell us about...
We've got a great show for you tonight. We are going to recap the challenge at Goat Hill. Talk about all the action that happened there. We're going to preview the OTB Open, which is going to start like pretty much when this podcast hits, depending on how good of a job Joe does at editing tonight and posting it. So challenge Joe.
Challenge at Goat Hill, Joe.
We will then do our world famous deer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both and let you know whether you should bring it on the course. Tonight we have Trends by Barrel Brothers Brewing Company. Think of Trends like Friends. They tried to make it look like the Friends logo, but they
like
did
same
trends.
Font, the little dots in between.
Same font with like the dots and stuff. And this is a pineapple guava slushy, 7% alcohol.
Beer.
And I don't know that we've ever reviewed anything quite like this, but this is...
I don't think I've ever heard of a beer like this.
Yeah, it's getting to be a popular thing. We're getting very juicy type beers.
Like it's a trend?
Yeah, it's a trend, you could say. Like perhaps...
Some may say.
The name of the beer implies. But we felt it was worth checking out. And we're going to pair that with the Penrose by EV7, a 2-speed 4-glide, 0-turn, 2-fade putter. This is...
Wait. Is EV7 the brand, or is EV7 the disc and the brand is Penrose? I honestly don't know.
I have no idea. Let me check that real quick.
I feel like Penrose might be the brand and the EV7
Penrose is the disc and EV7 is the brand.
Okay. It's cool. It's not confusing at all.
I could change my mind on that, but for now, I'm sticking with it.
So I wouldn't say
EV7 is for sure the brand.
Okay, so I wouldn't say I putt an EV7. I would say I putt a Penrose.
Exactly.
If I were to putt said disc.
If you were to do that, you would say that. And they say that they are premium disc golf putters is their thing. So they only have one putter, but presumably they would be releasing a new one.
You got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. But are they a putter brand? Is that their thing? Like
that's what it says. EV7 premium disc golf putters is what it says on the disc. And then. So
they're like Gateway.
Eh.
Like only make putters?
I would say.
Like people only care about putters that they make? Like putters is the only reason they're still a brand?
Oh, I mean, so far. I mean, you got to start somewhere. But
yeah,
I
like if you throw Gateway, it's because it's putters, because why else would you throw Gateway?
Yeah, I mean, this is
guys, I love you.
So EV7 is Phil Arthur's new venture. So Prodigy, Phil Arthur.
Yes.
Original founder. Yeah. So this is his new venture. Creating these, which is no surprise because it kind of bears similarity to some Prodigy putters.
It does. And maybe another putter.
Yeah. And I think it has closer similarity to another putter, but we'll get into that in the review.
We might both.
But nonetheless, very interesting. We always like a new brand, new putter. And I believe it's Drew Gibson that really uses these. So
he says.
I'm sure he does. I've seen it. At least
I'm sure he does. And when we get into it.
I've seen him talk about it.
It probably makes sense. I haven't seen him talk about it.
You haven't?
I don't think I've ever heard his voice.
You're true. Does Drew Gibson exist?
Ooh. That's what this podcast is actually about. Yeah. This is... 5 years in to find out if Drew Gibson actually exists. We're going to turn into a serial type podcast where we break down all the facts, everything we've heard, lots of guests, some court reports, and we'll let you know if he's a real person.
I mean, a man, does he have like one sponsor?
I mean, I can Google lots of tattoos. And find very things similar that I've seen on his Instagram posts. Put Constitution tattoo. Boom. We just created a new person.
It's a worthwhile question as to whether it's a real thing. But before we get to, you know.
No, Gru bombs. He's a real person.
Yeah, no, he is. He bombs and is probably the cleanest form in the game. Aside from possibly a person playing the OTB Open, James Proctor, which we don't get to see a lot of.
Oh, but we will.
Similarly, silky smooth backhand.
Well, if we go back pre-injury, someone we love, and if we go back to that Prodigy piece, like Schusterick.
Yeah.
Prime Schusterick, so silky smooth.
Yeah. And I know we've talked about
it. And by the way, McBeth's form, trash.
Oh, yeah, true.
don't emulate
Ricky's
what he
got
does.
Like 5 rating points on him now. So, I mean,
well, washed up.
Hashtag washed up. I guess once again. Oh, sorry. Yeah. For those of you listening on the main show, whenever we say washed up, we're just, come on. Paul Macbeth is the best.
No, they know. They know. They for sure know. We're just being.
But speaking of Schusterick form, we've talked about him on previous, but Gavin Burr, have you watched his form?
Yeah.
He looked exactly like Schusterick.
Totally. Well, dead the on. Same way AB, and we'll talk about that, is Macbeth. Like,
yeah.
Sir Macbeth form. And I didn't realize, and fun. I mean, we'll get into it too. I keep jumping the gun, but like, Philo brought up when he was like a kid, he could emulate everybody's form and do everybody's stuff cleanly.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. I can only hope that, I mean, I know that just like, so in baseball right now, we're seeing like a renaissance of pitchers. Like strikeouts are way up more than they ever have been over the last, you know, decade or so. We're seeing like the first generation of 3,000 strikeout pitchers, and there's going to be more to come. So like Max Scherzer's on his way, and like a bunch of other pitchers are going to hit this number that was like previously unattainable. And we're seeing the same thing in disc golf, which is that these kids that started when they were, you know, 2, 3, 4 years old, hopefully like my kids, which I'm doing the same thing with, that just understand how to throw a disc in a way that you cannot learn. It's pretty cool. And when you see a 14, 15, 16 year old throwing that far and with that much control, it's awesome. It's amazing. And it shows where our sport's going to go. The only thing I hope is that we don't just sell out for the golf courses like this. Like, we don't forget the part of the game that is being able to throw a laser beam down a tunnel, you know, for 300 feet, you know, even though it's not like it may not cater to the power throwers in the game, but it's
pretty.
It's still part of our game, and I hope we don't lose that.
As the person on the show that loves the big bombing stuff the most, I get just as much of an endorphin rush.
Well, yeah, but Goat Hill was just all bombs. Every single shot was. Yeah. But when you're watching it, you're like,
but we also watched like the most elite players, and I'll tell you right now,
we didn't watch the most elite players. We watched one elite player.
We watched the biggest bombers, except for Garrett Gerthy, who couldn't stay in bounds. I guess not the biggest bombers.
No. There was no eagle. There was no...
No. I mean, out of that card.
Yeah, no. There was one elite player, and it was Ricky Wesolanski.
Out of that, out of the field.
Yeah.
Like, the distance rose at the top, except for Gerthy, because of bounds.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you right now, if we watch the third card, if there's third card coverage, I don't know that I want to watch it.
Probably not. No.
Like, it's very calculated, and I throw here, and then I throw here, and then I throw here. There's no going for it, because to go for it, you need to have crazy distance, and crazy like angle control too, because of all the uphill and downhill stuff.
Yeah.
It definitely is a unique course. It's neat. Yeah. But I think, I guess, before we keep rolling that way, when you talk about that, we always bring up, like, we played sports growing up, and we wish that we would have gotten in earlier, especially, like, at the prime of our fitness and learning mechanics, our body mechanics and all that stuff. It could have done so much. And if you've watched Simon's latest stuff, Teddy Bruschi went out and played.
Yep.
Who... is a top tier athlete. Like, he is a New England god.
Yes.
One of the best New England linebackers of all time. I guess I should say linebackers of all time, but it's also that team is a very specific mold and whatever. Mm-hmm. Very good player.
A Hall of Famer.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. But to watch him throw, like, tells you, like, how much form and time.
I for sure matters. Expected him to throw better.
Rip something for sure.
Yeah, like
for sure.
Like when we is it Casey DeSmith?
Yeah. The
hockey player.
Yep.
Like I was kind of expecting something like that, where you watch it and you're like, oh my god, like this guy is clearly, you know, very good, like a 900 high 900s rated player type thing. And I was like, oh, you know, no. So,
well, I think Teddy is like, I just need to get a hike and like move my body so it doesn't all lock up because I've destroyed it for years.
Yeah.
Like he's not understanding the kinetic linking of like moving through that. Well, if you watch the very beginning, something that stuck in my head is someone that he had played with regularly was like, now that you have an X step, blah, 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 which means he's slowly been working. He just is now incorporating an X step, uh-huh. Which when you think about that, like linking all of that power, that's a huge piece, which I still haven't learned, even though I have an X step. He can get there. And I think just the way that he's now like reacting to Simon's videos and stuff, like I think he really is a disc golfer, which is rad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we'll see him more. I mean, I don't ever expect him to go anywhere near a tier that we think about him competing, but I feel like there will be a time that he plays disc golf with Simon again somewhere and plays a lot better and cleaner.
Maybe. I hope so. Figure out
things. Because just like, that's the thing too. It's who you hang out with. And you very early on, like going back to like us coming up, got really into form and all of that stuff and took me, you know, 15 of the 4 years we played together to actually be like, okay, I'll listen and do things. but like it just those taking a step back, being introspective, saying, okay, I'll try these things have done a ton. And I could tell that Teddy already was like, I'll listen to Simon.
Yeah.
Why would I not listen to Simon? Like,
could be. And it was kind of a strange video.
It like, was. It was could, like a press thing. And
yeah,
it was,
you could
it was,
tell that like Simon wasn't totally sure what he should be doing there. He also like knows who he is, but doesn't. Also, I should clarify for people like out there like you, they're like, is Teddy a Hall of Famer? I'm really just banking on the fact when I say that it's the Patriots legacy and that it's going to be a press thing. It's voted by press.
That's true. And that's the only reason I'm like, he.
Do I think he's one of the best linebackers of all time? No. Do I think he was an integral part of one of the best dynasties of all time?
Is Terrell Davis in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like he had like three seasons of amazingness, got some some rings and he's in. So
there's that. But it was an interesting video for sure. Watching it. It was just kinda like it was weird seeing
Well, Simon too is just like, I don't know if I can film right now.
Yeah,
I don't know
it was kinda strange the way that played out.
There's for sure some sort of something, some campaign coming out.
Simon's channel, you'll find it there. If you want to look for it, but yeah, he played a few holes with him and they talked disc golf and stuff like that. So it was fun. I there was not a single shot on film that I saw that was like, oh yeah, this guy knows how to play disc golf.
No.
Simon said he saw shots like that, but I didn't.
Well, he's being super positive. And that's the thing too. Like, that's what you have to be. That's what we are with anybody that we go out and play with is like, hey, that was right. I mean, fuck. That's what you got to do. That's what gets them hooked. That's like when we bring the kids out and they fucking throw. They are throwing some cool shots. I'm not saying they're not. But it's like you got to pump up every shot, especially at that point. It's like, let's keep going. Let's get that positive and like get them to want to push harder.
Yeah.
And that's when I'm going to start talking shit about your kids and be like, oof, that wasn't very good. You could do better. You're better than this.
Why don't you let me handle the coaching of my children?
I think you should let me do that because it's not good. As someone who was coached by my father, it's not. It burns you out. You need someone from the outside taking care of that. And then you can be the savior. Be like, hey, it's all right. You did a great job.
No.
Let me just destroy your children.
Listen.
Tell him what the fuck's up.
Your son walks around the course
playing, he doesn't play.
Playing Pokemon.
Yeah, he doesn't play. So, no, I'm not at all about trying.
And I got kids that want to play. So, like, why don't we just, like, let's just let me.
Do you want winners?
Yes, I will.
All right, then. We're good.
I will coach them in my own way. Thank you very much, Joseph Hardiman.
That, you know what that just made me want to do, and I would never do it. I would never do any of this shit. This is all fucking shtick to be. I think I need to be fully open and honest about this because I wouldn't ever want someone to think I'm like that. But I totally would be like, you see your dad start there? That was shit. Did you see my throw? Who do you want to listen to, your dad or me?
And I'd be like,
it helps that I've been playing a little bit better the last
few
weeks.
And I'd just be like, listen, son, sometimes Joe gets a little angry on the course. We just remember the game is about flow and controlling your emotions and staying steady.
The game's about winning. Do you want to win? That's what I thought.
Sometimes Uncle Joe gets a little excited and we just, you know.
Then we just, see that, like, those drinks he has, we're just going to put those in her backpack and he won't know that they're gone.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
So I was just a fun random random little piece before we move on to the next thing. GK Pro put out their skins for Goat Hill.
Yes.
Which is a lot of stuff. I don't want to dive into that. There's a lot of things of, like, you could dive in and see some.
There's some quesadilla action.
Yeah, you could hear some. You could hear some hardcore quesadilla action.
You could hear quesadillas.
Infer some quesadilla action very much so.
You could hear the quesadillas being cooked in the background.
<laughs> 100%. It was a quesadilla guy fest.
Yeah.
You got me off track. I totally lost what I was going to.
Why don't we move on to our discussion of the Goat Hill Open, which
I'm so bummed. I felt so good about what I had to say and it's gone.
Well, if it comes back, we've got time. So, you know, Goat Hill Open, CCDG was the main MPO coverage on there. There was live on the very final day. So that was sweet. FPL League card was on GK Productions. And I believe that's the only video.
Yeah, I think so.
That was out there. So, and you know, it was the challenge at Goat Hill is, and we kind of got into this earlier, like in terms of like boringness of the course. It is a bomber course. It's really just for players that can throw crazy far.
If you can't throw 500, I mean, I guess that's the majority of like 1,000 rated players, but
yeah,
if you can't throw 500, I guess with accuracy, you're not going to do well at this course.
No. But I think probably the story of at least the early part was Brody Smith throwing 13 down.
Yeah.
In his first round and then hanging on, in his second round, with, let me pull it up here.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm going to get crucified somehow on social media some crazy way.
So he was 7 down in his second round. So 13 down and then 7 down, and then his final, he just kind of slowly tailed off, but and then finally 3 down in his final round. So he had a really hot round to begin. But it was kind of like a coming out party from a distance standpoint. You saw on CCDG's footage the speed.
I was just about to say that. And that's like,
that he was releasing.
The biggest piece is that he got to be on CCDG and you got to see the speed. You got to see the distance because he's been doing that stuff presumably for a minute. But other coverage doesn't give you that.
And I forget which tournament it was. I feel like it was maybe like Texas State or something early on where he came out of the tournament and he was like, I really need to work on my distance. And we both were kind of like, I think you need to work on your putting. And, but he still felt like he could do it. And it's like, well, when he puts his mind to something, he's going to do it because he added some distance for sure.
Well, remember,
and when he's throwing 75 miles an hour, that is, as Ian puts it, you know, top 1% in release speed. You know, that puts you in the category with the Eagles and Rickies and Paul and
Anthony Barella's.
Anthony Barella's, you know, who put some 78s up there. And we know, like, I've seen their videos that are older where Simon's doing in against a net 360 drives, and he hit 88. I remember seeing that. It's been, I'll have to hunt it down.
But it's also like right out of your hand. Like
right out of it. Well, yeah, but that's what this
is. Oh, that's
is.
True. They're right yeah, there. You're right. You're
speed
right.
Gun out right out of your hand. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. It's the only I was game. Watching a dude pitch. I was watching a dude run up and throw a pitch from like 5 feet away into a radar gun earlier today randomly. Same kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, release speed, that is what it is. But, I mean, getting mid-70s is elite. So
oh, yeah.
He's a big guy. He's athletic. So, I mean, if he continues to build it, I mean, maybe we all underestimated what his ceiling is.
True. True. Well, here's the thing, though. And we see it with, I mean, I put him in my picks. Like, we see it with Gurthy. Gurthy may be the longest thrower in the game.
Yeah.
And he wasn't on the final card.
Yeah.
Because when you can throw that far, and Brody had a little bit of it, not as much, but it's the controllable, the accurate bombs. Yeah.
I think Brody was decision-making. There were some shots that he just didn't need to run and some other ones. But
there's a lot of disc selection, too, that he changed up throughout and got.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I would say two things very impressed by. Distance, number one. Two, his like mid-circle, like 20-foot and in putting was solid.
He hit some circle edge and outside circle stuff, too.
He didn't miss anything that he should have made.
Right.
And he missed some circles edge stuff, but he also hit them. But all of the, like, I'd say 22-foot and in, he made them confidently, and they were center chains. There was no, like, you know. But, like, he made, like, you have to make those. You have to make them, and he did.
I honestly, the biggest thing wasn't even his putting or his driving. He had some just weird approach shots.
Yep.
That he was like, I'm going to throw a zone, but I'm going to keep it like flat instead of hyzer, and it's going to float out to the left and I'm out of bounds type things.
Yeah.
Or just not putting enough on a zone.
Mm-hmm. And some, like, a couple of scoobers that were kind of like, I get it. You've made them in the past.
But he also had ones that hit like cage. And,
he did. He
you know,
did.
I think it is smart. And I know Ian brought it up a lot. And then I watched, like I said, I watched the OTB skins match too. And there was a lot of like toxicity there. Being like, what? Like, Paul doesn't throw it. Rick doesn't throw it. Why would, like, it's dumb. Why would any? And I'm like, but that's not a skill set they've ever practiced. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, he's
like, you're coming from an ultimate world, and it's something you feel confident. Like, of course that'll be something that more people will throw if they feel clean and comfortable doing it. It's not an over-the-top bad idea. You just have to be able to do it well.
I think he's shown enough that shot
totally
works for him.
100%.
Do I think everyone should try it? No.
But if you want to spend the time and figure out how to make it work, like, it's no different than...
I will say, I do think it's a huge waste of time for anyone to practice the scuba shot, because I think there are 20 to 30 other things you could practice as a disc golfer that would be more useful to your game. It's just that shot is something that he knows how to do from ultimate.
I guess I'll say it this way. If you came from an ultimate background, if you've thrown a lot of frisbees, it's worth thinking about.
I'll take it even further. If you threw scubers.
Which I did. I threw a lot of those.
So then
like,
yes.
I like a scuba.
Otherwise, if you did not have any ultimate background or any scuba shots, just work on your putting, work on your form, work on clean drives. Don't try and make it part of your game. It is perfect for him because he's so comfortable. He has such great touch with it.
Yeah.
But you're not going to learn it. That's
Right. It's not something to, yeah, you don't need 10,000 hours on this. Like, it's not, yeah, it's not worth being an expert in scoopers.
No, absolutely not.
Unless you have a good base that you've built from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like the same thing, not the same thing, but similar. I played a local round a week ago, and I really like, if there's a big ledge behind, I like big, high drop putts. And I feel really good about, like, I've maybe put one in ever, but I've put in 90% or put 90% like by the basket without blowing by and giving it a chance. And that's something that I was playing with someone, like, I don't even understand how to throw that shot or how it works. I'm like, oh, I just, it feels natural. And so yeah, I do it. So I think that's a part too. If like, if you step up for your first time to mess with the scuba and it just clicks, because it might just click kinetically,
yeah,
then cool. But yeah, don't devote hours into a shot like that. I think that's a great call.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, on to the CCDG coverage and everything.
Philo's goat.
Yeah, we got Philo's goat noise.
Awesome. Awesome.
I should also note
elite, like that's top 1%.
Yeah, of course. No one else can do a goat noise like that. It definitely. I should also note on Philo's part, being your disc golf plant guy, he refers to every palm that you see in that in all the videos as sago palms. He sometimes kind of makes them sound like sago palms. Sago palms are...
Robin is already heated. I can
sago
see right
palms
now.
Are a... While they do refer to generally a lot of different types of palms, so he's not technically wrong, but those were Canary Island date palms, that what you're looking at. And sago palms don't get that big at all, and they're a different type just generally. So... while Philo is not technically wrong, because it is kind of a common name that is used for a lot of different types of palms, it's questionable.
Maybe he's not wrong, but technically he is wrong.
Technically, he's not wrong, because like he's botanically wrong.
There you go.
He's botanically wrong.
Another question for you. What does neural mean?
I don't know.
Do you recognize that statement?
No.
You haven't heard Philo say a million times, oh, it knurled right in?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe it just went right over my head.
Maybe. He's like, oh, I'll just knurl right in. Is it a gnarly curl? Maybe that's what it is. He says knurl a lot when things like curl into baskets.
Oh, okay.
I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'm being a language stickler. I'm not sure. I guess I'm also the one who hated...
Totally missed that.
Who hated Ninja Twigs and Ninja Branches. That sounds like it only happened twice and it really wasn't a big deal.
I figured I came into this thinking that like you might be a little annoyed at how often Ian used the term heady for headwind.
No, you know what, though? It was fine. Another piece that Philo does, which shows how SoCal he is, and I guess maybe not this course as much, but the last one, going back to it, because I know when I've gone and played in SoCal, something so SoCal is referring to a mandatory as a Mandy.
Uh-huh.
He says Mandy.
Hey, but it's Mando.
It's Mando.
It's Mando.
It's a Mando.
Yeah,
it's a Mando.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone says Mando, except for Southern California.
Yeah, yeah.
And Philo is right there with them with the Mandy.
So I'll clarify my sago thing. So sago is a term used for a pithy, starchy plant thing that is removed from the center of a lot of types of palms.
Got it.
So like you can say sago for virtually any type of palm based on...
it being a palm.
It being a palm, but an actual sago palm is a very much different plant. Cycas revoluta, if you're just, no big deal.
cool. Now, you know, I feel like a dick for all the weird things I've gone on diatribes about. Oh, wait, no, I don't anymore. That just cleared it all up. I just got like exonerated. I just got the clear pass to go off on crazy tangents.
No.
Anyway, Rick's real good at disc golf. AB is very good at disc golf. AB's really good at this course. This is a course built for Anthony Barella. Like, rip as hard as you can and just don't go wild to the right or left, and you're gonna be doing real good.
Plus his forehand, just like,
dude,
still so dirty.
Oh, it's a 429 uphill. Like a lot uphill. I'm gonna rip a forehand.
Yeah, no big deal.
What? No. Well, that's the thing. Like, he has a crazy forehand and a crazy backhand.
Yeah.
And his putt's real good. But he's, I guess, you brought this up before. His putt is similar to Kyle Klein in the sense that he's, like, smashing, which is not good for the long haul. Like, you get a tick off, and it'll be...
There was in the early, so in that first round that was Ricky, Gerthy, Barella, and Clint Galvin, there was so much cage. They got so much cage in that round.
Yeah.
It was just bananas.
And the wind was mean too.
It was.
Sure.
The wind was kind of a factor all weekend. But
yeah.
My main takeaway from this was that Rick, pretty early on and throughout the tournament, separated himself as truly elite compared to the field, and if he needed to, could have absolutely massacred everyone, but just didn't need to.
No.
Like, just didn't
need to. Well, he put it on at the end because he was like, I want to get the course record. Like,
yeah.
He didn't need to at all. The last few holes, he, like, started running shit.
Yeah.
I know we've already talked about this off podcast, but I still like to like live in this beautiful secret world where Rick, who doesn't know what Reddit is, also doesn't know who Brody Smith is.
I think he knows who
and
Brody
then being
Smith
on a lead card second day, just him being like, hi, I'm Rick, nice to meet you.
I can't believe that's your takeaway on this. The funniest takeaway is that Jordan Castro
and Brody Smith were
on the same lead card, and Brody Smith blocked Jordan Castro on social media.
Oh, I knew that. Yeah, because
and then it's like he never Brody. Like Brody Smith is too cool for. I just can't. Like, I know Jordan Castro is
his own thing,
but he didn't have a cool like, cucumber
he didn't have over the ear headphones, which is neat.
No, like, I know it didn't get discussed, but like, why would you block a fellow pro player?
You know this could happen. You know you could be on
That's
a card with
unreal.
Him. Like, well, I mean, Brody's figuring it all out. Brody went from a social media guy to like now an athlete.
He's still, I mean, he's always been an athlete.
Yeah.
He
hasn't been an elite athlete in a sport for, I don't know, 8 or 9 years since his ultimate career ended.
Uh huh.
Yes, he's still an elite athlete. But, you know, there's things beyond.
I mean, what he's doing,
media.
He's working hard at it.
Totally. Obviously.
But it's just kind of hilarious that, like, he blocked a fellow pro player on social media because of, I think he liked an Instagram.
Like a meme or something.
A meme on Instagram that made fun of him.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then like, oh, you're going to play this guy. And
yeah.
And
the only bummer is that Castro wasn't able to stay on the lead card and be there the whole time.
Castro beat him by 5 strokes. 3 strokes.
Right, but didn't make it to the...
Doesn't matter.
Well, I know.
Finished the tournament Jordan Castro finished the tournament tied for 5th. Brody finished tied for 8th.
Ooh! Okay, sorry.
So, scoreboard.
Scoreboard. Scoreboard. I like it. I love it.
You want to block people on... I just
don't even...
Have you ever blocked anyone on anything?
I don't even know how to do that. Well, I have not blocked, but I have, muted some people on Facebook that I'm just like...
Oh, okay. Well, I don't do Facebook, so
right,
I'm
good for you. Where I'm just like, I very much don't agree with that. Oh, and you're going to put five more posts about that same thing.
Yeah.
And I've either defriended or silenced for a while because I'm like, maybe you'll figure this out. And
speaking of Jordan Castro, I would like to say I did not realize how far he throws.
Oh, he throws far.
Like, he was legit bombing and was just absolutely tearing the cover off the disc. That was
great
impressive.
Angle control, like great,
yeah,
just great work.
Yeah, it was these low lines where he was just all of a sudden it was there. He wasn't throwing it high up in the air on these big, you know, Annie lines or anything like that. But when he got down there, he was not that far off.
Well,
from
totally.
Everybody else
and when you
and
watch
the
speed, it was like 5 miles per hour less than everyone, but still right
but
out
still,
there with them.
Still right there. So,
like, just choose the right discs and whatever.
So, no, he looked great. And
that was funny. Like, Philo in coverage, too, was watching. What's the young guy who was on the lead card? Do you have in front of you?
Gavin? No, not Gavin.
I mean, not by young. I mean, like, 22 or 23 or something. Final round was Rick, AB, Brody, and...
Hold on. I've got it in my notes.
Sorry. Anyway... He threw a shrike a lot.
Yeah.
And
Cade?
What's last name?
Philman. No.
I can find it in a second. I'll finish my thought and I'll come back to it. I'll know the name when I look at it. But Philo brought up a lot of like he should be throwing something more integrity. He should be throwing destroyers, something that's gonna hook him, come back, and blah 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 blah. Which is like cool, but part of me too is like
Kirkland.
Yes, part of me was like Philo. Maybe you should check out a Shrike or something, and just like really pop that hyzer flip to get a little more distance too. Like Philo's very set in his ways. He's had the same molds forever, which is cool. But I kind of feel like his judgment of this dude who's throwing five bills plus.
Mm-hmm.
With a shrike is like unjust. It's like Philo, you know what?
Yeah.
As someone who always Philo, I love you because you're obviously listening. But you know, put the shoe on the other foot. Like you might be able to do really cool things with these discs that you have discounted. Like we played with Danny OTB and he did beautiful things with a shrike.
Yeah.
Like it's angle control, it's uphill, like it might be neat.
Yeah. How about this hot name from early in the season, Ezra Aderhold, tied for eighth along with Brody Smith at 23 down.
Okay. Good. I mean, I'm actually really happy to see that because I have kind of gone in a silent
We haven't
spiral.
Mentioned him in like 3
we
weeks.
We haven't, and we actually early on kind of were like we gave him too much.
I don't know about that, but I he was a
but
hype.
This is an Ezra course.
He was hype. Yeah.
Like, this is a smash the shit out of the disc and you'll probably be okay. And that's what he does.
Yeah.
But the more I've watched him, the more I'm just like, I haven't seen really clean intermediate game. It's like really, about the booms. So, I'm happy to see him get somewhere good. I want Ezra to be super rad. I really do. I just think myself included kind of not necessarily crowned him, but gave him pomp and circumstance far earlier than he maybe deserved.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Discraft hype, you know,
before Discraft hype, OTB hype.
Yeah, true.
Non-sponsor hype.
Yeah.
Throwing like five bills plus.
All right, you want to give me a top 10?
Yep. So in first, Big Rick, minus 40. In second, AB, minus 33, which is insane that there's a 7-stroke difference because it seemed so close for a while. And then Rick was like, oh, I could just get eagles, right? Cool, we're good. Gavin Rathbun, who... we're just starting to hear. He's like the next Heimberg coming up where we just start to hear trickles and then boom. Cade Filmoala, at minus 27. Sorry if I killed that. Gru Dibson, minus 26, tied with Jordan Castro in fifth. Ian Burchett at minus 24 in seventh. Clint Calvin, the local, tied with Garrett, Ezra, Dustin, and Brody at an eighth at 23.
Yeah.
I think that's where we can kind of
Yeah, I mean, that was well more than 10 players.
Yep.
So, yeah, we can go from there. So, FPO. My main takeaway from FPO was, one, Ella Hansen throws far. She doesn't have a lot of control with a lot of the other stuff she does, but she throws with anger and throws far. And I appreciate that.
She gets pissed off for greatness.
She does. She does. And after that, it was... had I done picks, I for sure would have picked Owen, but...
I did pick Owen. We did picks.
We did?
We did picks.
I don't think we did.
Oh, I did picks.
You probably did picks in your phone, but we
I think we did them.
We
maybe.
Were with Ian. Remember? We did an episode with Ian,
oh,
and we did
right.
not do
I
picks.
I think I did it previous because I wasn't sure we were going to have
I don't know if you remember, but Ian Anderson was on the show. And
Wait, whoa. Ian Anderson from Central Coast
yeah,
Disc Golf
yeah,
was
yeah.
on this show?
Yeah, and we did not
Where
do
was
picks.
I?
Yeah, you were here. You were here.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true.
So, I mean, off-show picks don't count. But nonetheless, had I done them, which I guess is...
I don't believe I did real picks because somehow I didn't pick Rick, and I don't know why I wouldn't pick Rick.
Yeah.
I think when we talked with Ian, he was like, I don't know that. Rick's playing. Like, in the podcast, he was like, I'm not sure if he's actually playing.
I'm now questioning your memory of virtually
everything.
No,
that for sure happened.
Yeah,
that
okay,
for sure happened.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure it
that
did.
For sure happened. Uh-huh. Like yeah. I was like, it looks like he's on the feature card. And he's like, are you
yeah.
sure?
Yeah, okay.
And then he was. Uh-huh. And then he was. And confirmed it the next day on
sure,
the
Sure, you just kind of create
slide.
Your own little
anyway.
World. But this seemed like a... Well, one... This course was dialed up for like a Katrina Allen, Paige Pierce type bomber situation. I thought Jennifer Allen would play better, but of course we don't have
Kona.
We don't have Katrina Allen. We don't have Paige. But I was really surprised that Jen Allen and Kona were not able to. You know, score like Lisa Fakus and Owen did. I mean, it's, and even like, I'll just give you the top players because it was great to watch them. This is a poorly designed course for FPO.
If you're trying to force something, you're going to find OB.
Yeah. Yeah. This was just not a course meant to showcase FPO talent. And, you know, we have a problem with that in a lot of different courses. This one really highlights it. It wasn't completely horrible, but you see players like Lisa and Owen that are, I would call them both pretty conservative players. Like, they throw the same shots. They try to go straight up fairways. Their approaches are solid and their putts are solid, and they scored as a result of that. And ended up, you know, kind of running away with this tournament as it went. But it just, this was not ideal. This course in general, I don't think any of you listening to this podcast would actually enjoy playing this. Like,
I honestly watched it and was like, I don't.
Yeah.
And I'm someone who's like, I want to rip on every hole. I'm like, I don't want to play this course.
I don't want to play this course.
Yeah. I'll be, my arm will hurt. I will be sad. Nothing will go great.
I can't throw that far. There's like, I can't tell. It's just going
to, like, I would rather play like Memorial and have to throw over crazy water. When it's like 360 to clear the water, then this shit.
Yeah.
And be like, I might just dunk a disc or three and whatever.
Yeah.
Then play this and be like, I could have the greatest shot I've ever had in my life and still need two shots to get to the basket.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. But, I mean, Lisa and Owen played their shots. They attacked the holes they could, and they played smart on the long holes that were just kind of like, you know, boring holes. They become boring holes when it's like that, where it's like you throw the 340-foot shot, and then you have a 200-foot upshot, and that's your par. And it's like, okay, let's do that again. Let's do that again. And so, not the greatest showcase, plus we didn't have the full field, but I always love watching Lisa and Owen. I really enjoyed watching Ella for her round. It didn't go great, but she certainly showed some power, which was fun. And that was good. Like, I always enjoy seeing a showcase of a player I'm not familiar with.
Well, so. Nice. Speaking of that, so, I mean, I think you're going to run through them, but in third, Holland Hanley won an early tournament in Arizona, I believe, this year.
Mm-hmm.
Unsponsored, out of nowhere.
Yep,
been
she did.
Playing for a minute, and we're seeing her again, which is pretty cool.
Well, I mean, I wasn't going to.
She was like a
it.
Big story, but I think you know, I think we're going to hear more about her in the next few years.
Yeah. All right, Joe, give us the rundown, top 10.
All right, so Lisa Fakus in first place at minus 11, right behind her own Scoggins minus 10, who I just brought up. Holland Hanley tied with Jessica Weiss in third at a minus 5. Just throwing under par at this course, they're better than we are. By a lot. In fifth place, Nicole Bradley minus 4. Jen Allen, sixth place plus 1. Kona, Ella Hansen, who Robin has talked about, were tied for seventh at plus 2. Juliana Korver, JK, if you've ever thrown this with JK on it, tied with Elise Revels at plus 6, tied for ninth. Great, great field. Like, a lot of good work happened. Just it, this course is a super giveth taketh away. Like, you have something awesome, you do some great things, and then all of a sudden you're OB, and you went OB real early, and maybe you're OB again, and you just tank around.
All right. So OTB Open, this is a big deal. And aside from the coyote piss that we covered in the opening, this course, it's a ball golf course.
But it's a Leonard Muse ball golf course, which is like, hey, there's trees on the sides of the course. Let me do fucked up things with those.
Yeah. They're seemingly water on almost every hole.
Yeah,
like somewhere.
Like if you shank something instead of being OB shank, it's water shank.
So my guess, and I could be shocked, but based on our friends that went and played the AM weekend and came back and talked about how brutal it was, we probably aren't seeing some real low scores on this one, but in the practice rounds we did see people doing okay, and like a bunch of rollers and stuff like that. Obviously on a manicured course, rollers will play, especially if there's trees that are, you know, forcing some lower lines.
But there's also like low ceilings, so you got
there's
the roller down.
There's
like
the
in a
low
weird
ceilings
way.
And there's the golf greens that are OB, and so it's looking like a difficult one. We could see some pretty brutal scores.
Well, think Glenn Eagles, SFO, like Leonard Muse is just kind of a mean guy.
I liked Glenn Eagles. I thought that was fantastic. So.
No, totally. But it was low scoring.
But scoring 7 down on that course was like
a course
great,
record.
It was,
yeah.
It was like a great day.
Yeah.
So, it'll be fun to watch, and we're going to get a bunch of coverage out of it, and OTB is just out there blasting, and Joe is going to be there.
Yeah, I'm going. I'm going to go there.
I won't be there because I'm a huge piece of shit, and I deserve to die. But
no,
you're
taking care of your family.
But Joe will be on Saturday pretty much all day and a little bit on Sunday. So if
maybe I'll just, I don't know. Now it's just me. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, no, I'll be out there. I'll be signing discs at OTB. No, no one gives a shit about that. I'll just sit out front at OTB and be like, you want me to sign stuff? I'm a guy. It's fine. It's cool.
You the DoorDash guy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll bring a pizza and sign your disc. It's fine.
I mean, you can bring some of our discs. You probably should.
I thought about it. Yeah,
you probably should.
I probably should just wrap all.
Probably at least one person is going to want to buy one of our discs. From
right?
You.
Maybe some pins and discs, some and silly can, pints.
Yeah, you could like have that stuff with you.
Yeah, maybe I should just bring the whole.
That'd probably be like a good idea, and like yeah. bring your recording outfit so you could like, you know, record interviews. That'd be good too.
Yes, when you said recording outfit, I was like, I don't have a set outfit for when
yes,
I record.
You do. It's the flowery shorts and
it's
the shirts.
It's
with
the slinkini.
Yeah. Okay.
Like Borat.
No. You just wear floral shorts and then a shirt that shows your nips off.
You know the sad thing about the floral shorts is, I got fat enough that like the button broke.
Oh.
And now I bet those shorts would just fall off of me.
Well, I mean,
so it's kind of sad.
Buttons are easy to put back on. You can even sew them.
It's like a weird. It's
you can sew them in a different position so that they.
Oh yeah, you, I got lots better. Of shorts though. I got shorter shorts.
You
know,
telling me you retired the flower shorts?
Never.
A lot of people are gonna be very upset with
this. I'm just saying. I mean, I'll blast nips hardcore, but I won't be a fat guy in said shorts. I'll just be a guy in said shorts with blasting nips.
It also sounds like we've got James Proctor will be on the Jomez card, which is awesome.
Yep.
And then it sounds like from what I've heard that Jeff Faze will be on the live card. So
friend of the show, Jeff Faze.
Yeah.
Who's never been on the show.
Which is fantastic. So you guys will get to see some local pros to us that we've, you know, like had some amount of contact with because... You know, we're cool.
Well, we've played rounds with Jeff. We've talked about playing rounds with James and never actually done it.
Yeah, and James was like, why do I have to, I mean, I'll just.
Like, just want stuff or? You want me to sign, your nipple? Cool.
No, James, he definitely didn't do that. I asked, but he refused.
We've got tiny little baby nipples. How can
he was
sign
like,
that?
Why are you mumbling so much? And I was like, I don't know.
Shh, just do it. Shh, just do it.
Why are you mumbling and lifting your shirt up? Please stop.
So we also have Helsinki Open coming up, which I know nothing. I'll be totally honest. I know nothing about the course. With that said, I did make picks just because there are names that are very.
Holy moly. All right, let's see it.
Understood. You want to hear my Helsinki picks?
I do.
Can
are you going to start saying them soon?
They just need to like load.
You don't remember them?
I know I picked Seppo and Vaino.
Okay.
And Leo Pirinen.
Okay.
And then I picked Evelina Solonen, Hannah Bloomroos, and Jenny Eskelinen.
Those all sound like great players.
Like, they are great. Like, we've seen them do great. Like,
players I would like to be talking about
like,
playing
I'm
here.
I'm excited for, exactly, for, like, next year with the hopes that we get some Euros back because that's going to stir, especially on the FPO side, that's going to stir some shit up.
Yeah.
Because right now, the way we talk about Goat Hill being like, oh, if only these boomers were here, if Hannah and Evelina were there, we'd already be like, oh, like, there are some bombers out there. We're gonna do just
Kristen
fine.
Kristen Tatar.
Yep.
You know, you add those names in and all of a sudden we're not talking about, you know, Kona and some of these other players. It's
you know who do you think is gonna take the biggest hit when Euros come back? It could be FPO or MPO, but it'll be probably FPO.
FPO for sure.
I know who, in my opinion, well, there's maybe two actually. You brought one up too.
I mean, it's that second tier of FPO player.
Yeah.
I think that Owen is here to stay.
I do too.
In terms of what
she was, and she went away for a minute, and she's back.
And Lisa is a great player. And you know, Heather Young is up and coming, and I think that she can compete as well.
I don't know. That's the her and Kona are the ones that I'm like.
Really?
They're not going to be on lead cards.
I think Kona's the one I worry about the most, but that's just in general. Like she needs to fix her putting, and until she does, it's not going to matter how far she throws. She's going to have to work on that. So, yeah. All right, Joe, you ready to do a deer review?
I also have picks for OTB. You don't have picks for OTB?
I didn't do picks for OTB.
I'll do picks for OTB,
we're
too.
Running long.
Okay, but
well, OTB, I guess we're okay.
OTB's a... So, and because you don't have picks, I'll go in no particular order. I'll just go straight grip six.
Well, I didn't do my picks, but I can do picks.
Okay.
It's very, very, very easy
okay.
for me to...
Okay, well, let's... I'm just going to tie on the microphone.
And it appears Simon Zott's making his debut.
Oh, he is. He is.
So
he
we
is. You know,
that.
And he came out too. Oh, I want to talk about that. I'm surprised we didn't. He did talk a lot about. Did you watch this In the Bag?
I did not.
So he put it in the bag, and he was like, "I'm not throwing distance drivers really anymore." He talked about how much he loved. He's like, "Cloud breakers are going to be my main distance driver because I can't throw full speed because." I'm still rehabbing, and then pulled out like four PD2s at the end. It's like,
yeah,
well, I
course.
Still have these because,
yeah,
you know.
Of course.
But a conservative Simon, I think, is a better Simon.
Yes.
Like, I think we're going to see some good stuff from Simon. I don't know that he'll be at the top, but I wouldn't put it past him. With that said, let's start with FPO.
Okay.
Do you want to go first or I'm going to go first?
I can go first.
All right, go for it.
So in third place, I'm taking Owen Scoggins.
God damn it. So am I. It will be different from here on out, though.
We
I
will?
Think.
Okay.
So second, who do you have?
Oh, in second place, I'm taking Katrine Allen.
Cool. Second, I'm taking Missy Gannon.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. And in first place, I'm taking Paige Pierce.
Paige has got to show me. I just believe. I'm taking Kat.
I think over the course of this course, it's going to... Oh, okay. Nice. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
And then MPO.
In MPO, in third place, I'm taking Kevin Jones.
In third place, I am taking Calvin Heimberg.
Solid. Solid. In second place, I'm taking Eagle McMahon.
In second place, I'm taking Paul McBeth.
Ooh. In first place, I'm taking Ricky Wysocki.
So am I. But I'm going to say it's going to be a playoff between Paul and Rick.
Ooh.
And Rick's going to take it.
I like it. I like it. I think this is an ideal course for Eagle. I wouldn't be surprised if he wins. His roller game is on point. His forehand is incredible. And I just feel like this could be an Eagle win. But I can't fight against Rick. He's playing better than anyone.
There's weird winds and woods, and that can eat an Eagle up real good. One coyote piss and he might be like, I need to just take the rest
kinda,
of the day off.
It's kind of woods. It's not
I got
true
a sign
woods.
From nature. I need to just call it a day.
So I don't know. I could totally see this being an Eagle breakout, but
I'd love that. I would love that.
Yeah.
But I don't know that's gonna be.
Yeah.
I could also see Simon doing well. I could see Conrad doing really well.
Conrad, really? At least I don't see this as a Conrad course. But, I mean, Conrad continues to surprise.
So I watched a little bit of Ezra's videos and stuff. And when you talk about rollers, he was putting down some sick rollers.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And
I think we're
going to
see a lot of rollers.
There are a lot of lines that look like they're forehand lines, but watching him throw the turnover line, looked a lot cleaner and easier than the forehand line.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be. All right, Joe. You ready to do a deer review?
Dude, I'm so ready for this beer.
All right. It is time for our world famous deer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both, and let you know whether you should bring it on the course. Tonight, we have Trends by Barrel Brothers Brewing Company, 7% alcohol, pineapple guava slushy. And we're pairing it with the Penrose by EV7, a 2-speed, 4-glide, 0-turn, and 2-fade putter. Where do you want to start, Joe? Disc or beer?
Oh, let's start with the beer. Watch yourself. It gets after it.
Do you have to slurp it like that? Or like?
Yes, you do, as you're doing it right now.
I didn't slurp. I drank. So it is a slushy. Like, there are bits of fruit.
Oh my gosh.
Like it is literally like a...
It exploded.
Like
a
guava puree is a huge part of this. It also doesn't taste like there's any alcohol in it at all. If I had this tastes to me like somebody took pineapple juice and guavas and blended them and like maybe a little bit of like coconut water or something like that, mm-hmm. and just like gave you a smoothie.
If you this is what it is. If you went and got, and I'm going to pull the curtain back. Rob and I might have had this once before tonight. It is, if you go get like a nice like big fruit smoothie from like Jamba Juice or like your local like coffee or juice place, and there's a good amount of ice cubes in it, and you let it sit for like a minute and it gets slightly watered down, like that's this.
I have a better comparison for this, oh, I like and it comes from Mexico, where what they call smoothies licuados.
Yeah.
And there's no ice in them. Well, sometimes they put ice in them, but they use guava pretty exclusively because they can grow guavas because guavas are really drought tolerant plants.
Latin name?
It really depends, but Fajilia is the main one.
Nice.
But it literally is just like a guava puree. It doesn't taste like
if you had a guava puree and you're like, I'm put some rum in it.
If you told me that this
is if you tried to make a guava puree into a booze drink like this and put rum into it, it would taste way more fucking boozy than this 7%.
If you wanted
super
to
drink.
Convince me that this isn't beer, it wouldn't take long.
If you told me it was a smoothie, if you told me just a smoothie, if you said this is a smoothie, if you put in a glass, it looks like a smoothie, tastes like a smoothie, I'd be like, all right, that's a nice little smoothie.
Yeah.
Like let me start my day.
It's a fermented smoothie.
Right, but it's not boozy at all.
No, it's not.
It's like, hey, is your guava just a little bit off?
Have you ever I'm about like 2/3 done. We're like 2 minutes into the deer review. Have we ever like finished a beer like before we even get to the disc? And the answer is yes. And it just happened because Joe just did it.
Oh, that was great.
Got all the fruit.
So one thing I did do, because I had this before, was the first time I had it, all the fruit kind of sat at the bottom. So I spent some time over the last little bit like having my can upside down and stuff to get like it all mixed up. And it made it that much better. Like, this is amazing. This is a beer that I didn't even know existed. A style of this alcohol in a can, like I bought it on a whim, and I'm so happy I did.
So, local beer to us, so probably not something that's available everywhere, but just maybe check it out at your local.
Like, I feel like I put
this. They called it trends because this is a current trend in brew making, which is to make like pulpy fruit beers, and they're worth trying.
I could put this in a silly pint and drink it during the start of my work day, and no one would fucking have a clue. Like, it is a breakfast smoothie.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could do a line of Coke before your day too, and probably no one would notice either. It's like, I don't understand.
That was a weird shift.
Just saying.
Like, I was talking about like a breakfast smoothie, and you went just to, okay. it's neat. Let's talk about the Penrose from EV7, not the EV7 from Penrose.
The Penrose by EV7, two speed, four glide, zero turn, two fade.
Hey, Robin,
OG medium plastic.
Have you ever thrown a P2?
I have.
Sweet.
I feel kind of. I'm a little upset because that was, you know, like, I was like, I did the testing with the P2, and like that should have been like my thing to say, because like,
but I picked it up and went, oh, this is a P2.
I know, but like I actually threw it with other discs and like I came
to that. I threw it with a P2 after you said,
yeah,
throw it with a P2.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I felt it. I picked it up and went, this is a P2.
It's. So,
I feel like we're even on this.
Not really, because
you stupidly chose other putters and be like, oh, this feels like P2, or should there P2 with it?
So obviously, Phil Arthur, the nose of this disc looks more like a PA3, Like, P2 that, like, has a more blunt, rounded nose. So I immediately went to dislike that. Like, a PA3, a breaker was so another one that I thought of in terms of, like, what it is. But this is an overstable putter. Like, a pretty significantly overstable putter.
But that, like, glide.
Like, it's true, though. The glide, I don't know. So, it's very, very similar to a P2. When I finally got it down, so I threw it with a bunch of different putters.
Tell them what you threw it with.
Well, I started with, like, our baseline putters, like what Joe and I throw, Pilots and Bullets. And then I grabbed the KC Pro AVR, because KC Pro AVRs have kind of a blunt nose and a bead similar to what this Penrose looks like. So I'm like, all right, sometimes, and it says it right on the disc, says overstable putt and approach. And I'm like, all right, well, whatever. I've had a number of different disc companies tell me their disc is overstable, but I'll believe it when I see it. So I went and I grabbed a Conrad AVR, which is a KC Pro. Threw it with that, and Bullets and Pilots don't even compare. So Bullet is not as stable as a Pilot. Right away, I knew it wasn't that. The Pilot was still way more straight, and this was still a meat hook in comparison. And then I grabbed a breaker, and I grabbed an Envy, an Electron Envy, and I threw it with those. Still, the pretty close to the breaker, but was going farther.
Breaker hooked up earlier, I assume.
Yeah, it did. And the breaker hooked up earlier. The Envy went straighter and a similar distance, but not quite as much hookup. And then I finally just went back and grabbed P2s because I was like, all right, well, it's deep, and I know the nose, like, P2s have a, like, slightly more round nose to them, so I didn't really think about it that way. But then when I threw them together, it was near identical, like, really pretty much the same. You can get Anheuser on these, like, if you really want to put a flex line on it, that's where I got the most distance out of them. They fly pretty far and, like, have a nice grippy plastic. So what I finally settled on is the closest comparison is the X-Line P2. And in terms of feel of the plastic, flight, everything else, that's what it was. It, like, I could get the same type of flight. If you want to do little baby Anheusers with it, obviously, if you crank over on it really hard, it's a putter. You're not going to, it's not going to come back. But, like, a slight Anheuser or even, you know, moderate Anheuser angle, it goes far. And I would even say, like, a slight Anheuser, depending on what happened, kind of looks like a hyzer when you throw it. Like, it comes out of it pretty quick. Like, it's pretty overstable. So, first, I was surprised by the fact that it said overstable putt and approach, and that it actually was pretty dang overstable. And then, secondly, not surprised, because Drew Gibson is using this as his approach disc, and it makes total sense. Like,
yeah,
someone that has a lot of power and super clean form can make a lot of use out of this. I'd say for most people, it makes for, if you like a deeper approach disc, like, to replace your zone, it's not zone overstable, but it's far off from, like, zones and A3s. It's not that far behind. It's just not as fast. So you're not going to get quite the same deal out of it. But it'll handle some torque issues as far as putters go. You know, if you're kind of getting over it on it at a weird angle, it'll still kind of work out of it. Certainly can handle headwinds and things like that, and the plastic feels great.
Unless there's a barn in the way, and then
yeah,
but no time.
I was pretty impressed by it overall.
Yeah. So thank you, Robin, for doing the groundwork. So I threw it after he figured out what it was like, but I, like I said, I, in my hand, because, you know, if you're power gripping a putter or even like fan gripping, whatever.
I should say I don't power grip any putters.
I do.
And so like I'm all fan grip.
I didn't. But even fan grip, like you feel the depth more than you do the nose.
Very deep.
And as soon as Robin brought me this, by the way, if we didn't mention, I know says it's SEP. It's SEP.
Yeah.
One of our mods, awesome, awesome dude, sent these to us.
That's true. I apologize, Chris.
No, we got it. It's here. We said it. But yeah, as soon as I felt the depth, I was like, oh, it's like P2. And I already was like, I don't know. I don't like how I like that was my biggest complaint with the P2 was the depth and the other like the D-line, the plastic. And I already was like, oh, OK, well, at least it's more grippy than super slick, stiff D-line. So that was already good in itself. And then I came to throw and Rob was like, here, throw it with the X-Line P2. And in that sense, X-Line and OG medium are very, very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar. So yeah, it's got the PA3 kind of nose. It's got a micro bead, but the depth is like a P2. Like when I picked it up, I thought P2 with a micro bead. Okay. That's what I'm going to throw. So I wasn't surprised when Robin was like, this is the disc. So throwing it, I had some good throws. I had some bad throws. And bad throws, all of said throws were my form and my own issues, not the disc at all. But the good throws, I had one really good pop, power grip, very slight hyzer that just popped up and went straight. I had a lot of Anheuser throws. But it flew well. It really did. And like I said, I threw one and Ron was there for it with lots of pop, like snapped out of my fingers. Slight hyzer just went straight for days and finished. But with the amount of rip I put on it, that it popped up and didn't turn and went straight tells you the integrity of this disc.
Yeah.
Like it for sure was not about to turn over. I threw some Otsi Annies that didn't turn over even. They just slightly turned to the right and hit Barnes. And I'm sure they would have come back had said barn not been there. I will say, and it, once again, this is my own possibly ineptitude. I just had better throws with this than the X-Line P2. And in that sense, this always went further than the P2 for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like the glide I put in my head was kind of, and I threw a few like really random shots. Robin was putting his kids down. I threw like really weird tunnel shots because I gave myself a little spot to do it. And kind of that glide pushed through, like not as insane as a Sonic, but it made me think about it with something that I was like, I can put it here and know it's going to get a little bit further than I really think it is because that glide's going to pick up and go. But the big thing with the name Putt and Approach, the part I struggle with that because I throw pilots and I threw judges for so long. With approaches, I really like to like kind of laser beam at things and just like put it straight on my target.
Yeah. Okay.
And this isn't a disc. Like you need to put it out right. And,
yeah, but
and play for the hyzer.
Like think about like the A3. Like A stands for approach. Like a lot of times those are overstable.
That's true. I guess for me, with a disc like this, because I have an A3, because I have a pilot, I'm like, I don't know that I want my putter to be another thing that I have to plan for a hyzer and crank it a little bit harder than I feel comfortable with the distance.
No, this is a power.
Yeah.
A power approach. Disc.
Yeah. At the 150 plus, you got to put, well, even 150 in, if you're going to try and approach with a Penrose, you got to put more juice than you would think.
Yeah.
Because it's going to hook up early. And for me, like, I don't feel comfortable with that. I want to be able to just like float something to the basket or throw an A3 on a hyzer or a spike hyzer and just put it right on it.
Yeah.
I'd rather just rip it. Or float it, like not this weird in between, I don't know how much because I had those because I we have two of them and I had multiple times where I was like, that wasn't enough. I got to put a little bit more. Oh, yeah. Cool. Now I parked it. Yeah. But I didn't find a comfortable medium.
So I threw this on the property I live on, and I set up a couple different. Well, I didn't set up anything, but I have spots that I throw from for different types of shots. And while the
you set up tee pads,
yeah. Well, in it's theory. Not an ideal space to test out a distance driver or even a fairway driver. Putters and floaty mids, it's good. And I set I threw a couple of shots with it. Where I typically can only reach with mid-range that were kind of impressive, where it was like a slight annie, and we're probably talking 320 feet, I would say. I'll measure it tomorrow and confirm.
Downhill.
Downhill, yes.
Yeah,
yeah. probably 10 feet downhill. From landing spot from tee to landing spot, but it went through a pretty narrow gap and then like carried and glided for a good amount of distance. So it has impressive capabilities in terms of what it is. Whether you can get to the point where you know that that's the shot that you need and are confident in it, that'll take some practice. Would I putt with it? Probably not. It's really overstable. The question is, do you need an overstable counterpart to your putter game that is not a, you know, like a Harp or a Zone or a Pig or an A3 or, you know, something like that that we generally use in that segment? I don't know, but it goes far. Like, it really does, to the point where I was getting really similar shots with the X-Line P2, which I used to throw, so I'm very comfortable with it. But it was still going pretty far. Now, the P2 is a 3-glide, and the Penrose is a 4-glide. I don't know that the Penrose was going further. I had more impressive shots with it, but small sample size. So is it a 4-glide? I don't know.
So the other thing that I brought up too is the inconsistency with Discmania plastics. Like, an X-Line P2 might be closer to a 4-glide than a D-Line P2.
Yeah.
For sure a C-Line or
What I should have done is try with a Sky God, but I don't like comparing premium plastic.
You shouldn't. That's not the right thing to do.
To, you know, what is more or less baseline plastic for this? Like,
it's OG medium.
It's OG medium, but I mean, come on. It's
so I will say,
but I would guess that if they come out with a stiff, you know, plastic for this, that it is going to be a beefcake and closer to like a Sky God type situation.
So like an OG hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say, when you were putting your little people down, I did some like distance putting, and I almost am like, I've always lived in the world of, for like outside circle or circle's edge, I should go with something like less stable and floaty.
Mm-hmm.
I was dropping these in.
Oh, all right.
I was putting them a little bit more out, and that's kind of just naturally how, when I try and juice something, if there's a little, it like makes up for my wrist roll or whatever, and mm-hmm. I was like putting them in, I'm like, maybe I should think about like a more stable maybe I should throw my premium from distance instead of going to like the beat up
fucking serial killer.
Yeah, right. Totally. But I did drop some actually decent putts with it. It's I think the 2402 isn't crazy off. I think it's kind of there. It is crazy deep.
Yeah.
Which some people might like. It's got a bead, but it's not a bead that anyone will actually notice. It's very micro, and you put it on gravel 8 times and your micro bead's probably gone.
Yeah.
it is that type of plastic that will eat up. I mean, definitely, in the 20 minutes that I was throwing while Ron was putting his kids down, I probably put
you chunked the
30 bitchy. Times the wear
the
all of Robin's throws all day. I quadrupled in the 20 minutes.
I was like,
I
what did you even do? Like, these were fine. And they're
I smashed it.
Full
right?
of, like, chunks I everywhere. Smashed it. But no, this is obviously a Phil Arthur thing. This is, like, the beef PA3.
Yeah. And so the beef. Here's the thing. I love that.
It flies like a P2, but it's shaped like a PA3 and is just, like, a beefier version.
He did to the PA3. What I've been wanting, and now it's too late. Well, it's too late, I guess. Or what?
It's not too late.
What Streamline?
It's never too late.
Or what Streamline did to the judge? Like, I wanted a more overstable judge this whole time, and then there was like the EMAC judge, which I got one of, which isn't that bad. But I was really hoping the EMAC judge was going to be that more beefy judge, and it turns out it's a less stable judge, which I'm pretty bummed about, but I'm not really, because I have a pilot now. But that's if you've listened to this podcast, I was like, maybe I can find moonshine, maybe chameleon moonshine, maybe there will be a judge that is like beefcake and life will be good. No, it's the same thing, it's just deeper.
Yeah, smaller bead, you know.
Robin was comparing a PA3 and the Penrose.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed throwing it. It was great. I can totally see why this works for Drew Gibson. Like, someone with that much power, like this.
I ripped it so hard. Like, I had that pop and I was damn.
I have no doubt that Drew Gibson can throw this like 500 feet.
Like, that third throw that I threw, like, straight up the gut, I was like, you see that? Like, in my mind, I was like, that was a. I felt good about that rip, and it just popped up and went straight.
Yeah. Yeah.
No turn, no nothing. It has integrity, to borrow terms from Philo.
It's a fun disc. All right, Joe. Where do we stand on this?
So
we
with that said,
we're both all in on slushy beer. I know that.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
I think I kind of put it out there earlier. Off the tee, fun, but I could do with my pilot the same distance, maybe a little more.
It's totally different. I don't bag anything like it. I bag understable putters, and I bag an A3, which I use for my overstable shots. It is nowhere near as overstable as an A3. And I wouldn't use it for the same things, and it is nowhere near as, it's a cool disc. I don't know.
The amount of juice that I'd have to give it off the tee, I don't feel comfortable with.
Yeah, like,
The amount of juice I have to give it on approach, I don't feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
It's just not, if I'm putting that juice, I want to throw an A3 and just rip it hard and just let it pop in and die and be right there. Or I want to rip a flat pilot and just pin shit like a laser. I don't want to worry about left or right or it hooking up. I want to just put it on the pin.
But at the same time, it did some things that were impressive.
Like, oh, it's neat.
That
it's
I really liked.
Neat.
Like getting it to like the shot that I was talking about that was downhill that made it like, the putters I have don't fade like that to make it to the landing spot that I was trying to throw to. And I didn't bring out any of the zones or A3s to try it on that. I assume I could do the same thing, but I don't know that for sure.
Here's the big thing. As an intermediate, too advanced on a good day player, it's very learnable. Like, I very much, like, as I threw it, every time I threw it, every single time I was like, oh, oh. Like, I know that if I had to go, I could play a putter round with a Penrose and feel fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could dial things in. I would have to do things I don't really want to do. I'd have to throw it ways that I don't really want to.
My main worry is that you would develop an Anheuser
or a natural, weird, like, weird stuff for sure.
So because I felt that I was doing it as I threw it, because when I was throwing hyzer shots, they would just freaking hyzer, and when I threw it flat, it would hyzer, and then all of a sudden I was throwing anhyzers that made it look like a hyzer. So it was like, oh, okay. But it still produced results. So it was interesting.
Here's the real world. If you are a P2 person that loves X-Line P2s and you haven't been able to find them for 5 years, just buy a whole bunch of fucking OG medium.
I think that's
the real world. If you love your X-Line P2s and they're never going to come back, probably, like, ever, just switch. Switch.
Or if you love X-Line P2s and you want to buy one from me for $50, I've got it. So, you know.
You hit up Austin.
All right. So we're 2 for 4, right? We're very interested in the Penrose, but neither of us are going to bag it.
Yeah, I think we need to take one more minute, though, on the beer.
Okay.
It's that good.
It's magic.
Like, it is.
It's magic.
I did not think it was a thing that could be as good as it is. I thought it was just kind of like a joke, and I bought it to kind of be like, well, fuck it, we'll see. It's probably gonna suck and whatever. It's like in the same world of the first time Rob and I had like a lactose IPA, and we're like, oh, that's hella weird, but whatever. Oh, this is super good.
Yeah,
this might. Our first actually
same brewery
yeah. that we found.
It's like
lactose.
Strawberries and cream or whatever that was.
Yeah. I like this better than that lactose beer. Like, this is rad.
Mm-hmm.
Especially you got the fruit in it. So you're like, maybe I'm kind of being healthy. You're not. It's awful for you, but super duper good.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. All right. So we're still 2 for 4 though, right?
So 2 for 4, that's the effort that Rick needed to win Goat Hill.
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, it just goes to show, like, elite. When you get to that elite level, there's not really much else you can do. Like, he just coasted.
So I remembered what I tried to bring up earlier about being watching, like, the Skins.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to bring it in now before I forget. So I watched like the premiere of the Skins where there was a chat going on along the side, and some dude, I like came in kind of late and was like, and I signed in as Disc Golf Podcast and was like, what did I miss? And people did blah, blah. And I said something and some dude was like, whatever, like, you're just fucking alcoholics who like pretend to do disc golf here and there in the chat. And I just like, was like, ha. And I really, like, looking back, it should have just been like, man, nailed it.
Thank you for that. Very dark.
You killed it. But we got a lot of very good people, like, jumping back into, like, say it. But it was, like, just some dude out of nowhere just, like, being, like, it was just kind of funny.
Yeah, I'm glad you gave him a platform.
It's fine. It's fine. We know what we do. We have fun. I will never tell y'all that we are the tip top of media and journalism for disc golf. We just some dudes having fun.
We are. That is very true. So that's all we got for you on this episode of the Disc Golf Podcast. Be sure to check out our website, throwstuffatstuff.com. We got some merch on there. There's silly pints. We got pins. There's discs. All kinds of good stuff. And you can also find on our website a link to join our Slack group, one of the best disc golf communities in the whole world. It's right there in the main nav, throwstuffatstuff.com. Join Slack. It's fantastic. It's just a, like, constantly moving disc golf community. It's great. So check it out. And after that, go to patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast. If you like the main show, you will love our pre-shows, which you can only get access to by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast.
If you think farts are funny, you found your place.
Yeah. So check that out. And in the meantime, get out there this weekend and throw stuff at stuff.
This is a song for the aceless. But those with aces, listen closely. You don't always have to huck it hard. In fact, sometimes that's not right to do. Sometimes you got to lay it up and fucking outrun an ace or two. Sometimes you got to ease if you wanna put the D's in the B's. Sometimes you got to say, hey, I'm gonna throw it softly. I'm gonna huck it gently. I'm gonna flick it smoothly. I'm gonna toss it so sweetly. And then you say, hey, I hit some metal. And then you say, wait a minute, Robin, I think I'm starting to get it now. Could you fill my throat for me? That's fucking teamwork. What's your favorite disc? That's cool with me. It's not a trespass, but I guess it works for you. What's your favorite beer? The only answer is an IPA. So let's go to the bar. And then I'm gonna flick it so sweetly. And then I'll fucking hook it softly. And then I'll fucking throw it perfectly. But then I'm gonna hook it.